The next item of business is, do we have anything in unfinished business? I'm not aware that we do. I just left it on the agenda in case. If nobody is aware of any item in unfinished business, we can go on to new business. Okay, we have two motions on the new business. The first is a motion from submitted by Directors Reyes, Lark, and Pointer. Which one of you would like to read that motion?
Chair, I'm multitasking, so I would defer to the secretary to read that motion. I have an update. As I had a conversation with you, you advised me to have a conversation with the National Ledger Supervisor. I think the motion at this point is in need of an amendment. The National Ledger Supervisor wrote me back, and the timeline for cards and candidate forms are going to begin when the ballots go out on August the 15th. She is requesting time from the stations as we speak. So I think that's a good resolution. I know this is a time-sensitive matter. I wish I would have not been distracted by the referendum, if you will, which I would have been able to get it in sooner. But I think the National Ledger Supervisor does offer a resolution that I think should be acceptable to the board. So the only modification that I have for that motion, the amendment, is that the notice to the stations is going to be provided by the National Ledger Supervisor beginning on the 1st, and that the cards and the candidate forms, the cards will be recorded sooner than the candidate forms, but the candidate forms are going to happen on beginning August 15th when the ballots are being mailed to the listeners. So I think that's a fair resolution. Thank you.
So you want to just amend it by changing the date from August 1st to August 15th in there, or did you have in mind something?
Yeah,
more?
August 15th is when the candidate forms, candidate statements and the such will be produced and facilitated by the National Ledger Supervisor. So yeah, that's the only change in the motion.
Okay.
Well, this is Lydia. Okay. Normally the PMB doesn't engage in this kind of directive. It is the National Election Supervisor. I'm not clear on the necessity of this motion. If someone can explain it to me.
Yeah, I could, Lydia. Chair, may I address?
I would just offer another amendment. I never like to get into this business where the national board is directing the IED or anyone else. I think we could certainly say we recommend a certain course of action.
That's fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. As the motion was sent, to the chair, the secretary, to the IED, and to the National Ledger Supervisor. And I think a reasonable resolution was reached at us having to, provide that kind of a request. So I think the National Ledger Supervisor did her due diligence, and I think we're good.
Mr. Chair, this is Lydia again.
Lydia?
Yeah, so I just also want to let everyone know, if and when the National Election Supervisor, who is not a board member, not a staff member, et cetera, is... when she runs into any delays of that sort at stations, whether it's to submit the list or whatever, I am contacted directly, and then I always act on it. So I do think that the board needs to be very careful to not blur that line of the independence of the National Election Supervisor. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm not clear what you all want to do with this. Do you want to proceed and vote on it or some amended version of it, or do you want to withdraw it or what? Lawrence, that's a question for you. And I guess
at this point, it could be withdrawn because the National Election Supervisor did provide a resolution, if you will, right? So I don't think this item becomes inactionable, if you will. So.
Okay. I can accept that, but do the other directors who are sponsoring this motion agree with that? Mr. Lark and Mr. Poynter.
Ralph and Dwayne, what you think?
Yes, I agree with that. Ralph here. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you, Ralph.
Okay, I agree with that. For sure.
Okay, so since it is before the body, before we withdraw it, I have to ask if there's any objections from the body. Does anybody object to withdrawing this motion? Let me ask Mr. Tatum if this is the right parliamentary procedure for this. Mr. Tatum, could you comment on that?
Yes, that's the right procedure.
Okay. All right, so the motion is withdrawn, and we'll go on. There's an under new business. There's a motion sent by Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne, do you want to read your motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd rather not, but I'll defer to whatever your recommendation is because, as you can see, it's fairly lengthy. But if any of the board members or the chair wishes me to read it, I would do so. My preference is to kind of explain it. Whatever the board wants.
Well, it should be read, and you can explain it during your motivation.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'll read it then. Whereas the guidelines or procedures for censuring the director has not been established in the bylaws for the PNB, and nor previously published or established by the board. And whereas the board wishes to establish a procedure by which it can fairly conduct its business and govern itself in compliance with due process, therefore, be it resolved that the PNB does hereby adopt the following guidelines and procedures for a motion to censure a board member. First, 1, a motion to censure a board member shall be in writing and recite the facts and provide the evidence, if any, that establishes the conduct that is alleged to be adverse to the best interest of the foundation, parentheses, pursuant to Article 5, Section 7, Pacifica Foundation Bylaws 2016, close paren. 2, the motion to censure a board member, open paren, inclusive of the facts and supporting evidence, if any, close paren, shall be served on all board members and the general counsel via email, personal service, U.S. mail. 3, a hearing on the motion may be held at the next regularly scheduled board meeting or at a special meeting, but in no event, no sooner than 21 days after service of the motion to censure. The subject of the motion to censure shall have 14 days from the date of the service of the motion to respond. The written opposition, if any, must also be served on all the board members and the general counsel via email or personal service or by U.S. mail. 5, the board chairperson or the person authorized to act in the chair's absence shall determine the hearing date in accordance with subsections 3 and 4 and notify all board members accordingly. 6, at the hearing on the motion to censure, after consultation with the board and general counsel, the chairperson shall set a reasonable time for debate, but in any event, no less than 40 minutes of time divided equally between the respective parties. the subject board member who shall be entitled to present a defense and present evidence in opposition to the censure motion. The hearing may be open to the public or closed, paren confidential, as solely determined by the member who is the subject of the motion to censure. If the meeting has been closed by the subject member, only the duly elected board members may attend, excepting the board's general counsel and the parliamentarian. However, if an open meeting is chosen by the subject member, only the duly elected board members may debate the motion. No public comment will be permitted. 8. The motion to censure will have been deemed to have been passed by 2/3 of all the elected directors. Submitted by Ali Alexis, Andrew Rawline, and I drafted it.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Mr. Robinson. Are you aware that when an item is not explicitly in the bylaws that we abide by Robert's rules?
I've never seen that in writing in any...
It's in the bylaws.
Okay.
State explicitly.
Oh, yeah, bylaws. Yeah, yeah. I apologize. Yes, that's right. It's in there. So,
Robert's rules has a procedure on censure.
Yes.
Mr. Tatum, do you want to speak on that?
Yes, I do. The motion that's being put forth supersedes what's in Roberts. There is actually no result of a motion to censor according to Roberts. In other words, if the motion to censor passes, according to Roberts, it goes into the minutes that there is absolutely no penalty.
That's correct. It also does not require a 2/3 vote.
And that's why I'm saying this motion is superseding everything
something well above and beyond what's in Roberts for this particular item.
That's correct.
So I would definitely oppose this motion.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Well, and respectfully, Mr. Chairman, we haven't begun to advocate one side or the other yet.
Okay. Do we have a second on this motion?
It's been seconded by Ali and Sandra.
I haven't heard them say that.
Sure, I'll second it.
Okay. Okay, so it's up for discussion.
I got my hand up, Lawrence.
Okay, let me check the stack. Hold on. Okay, yeah. Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe that it's codified in the bylaws that...
Mr. Chairman.
What's your point of order?
I think the person who's advocating, you said I would be allowed to advocate. I think the advocate goes first. I think Mr. Reyes would even agree with that, right?
You're correct. You're correct. Okay. Lawrence, let Mr.
No
Osborne
problem.
Go first and then you can speak. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, fellow board members, what I've tried to do here and as the chair correctly and the parliamentary point out, the Roberts rules really, in my opinion, don't provide sufficient due process. And what I've tried to do here is lay out something that's very, very, I think it's fair to everybody, because as you heard what I warned about earlier, could very well happen to, let's say, the board members from Houston. If we go into executive session tonight and everybody starts talking about what's going on with the real estate sale in Houston, and then anybody mentions anything outside of the meeting, any board member then could bring a motion for censure against you because you brought up something that was confidential that was disclosed in executive session. So what this motion does here, it simply establishes a procedure where someone who disagrees with you on the board decides to take out a motion for censure against you. It says what they have to do, they have to, you know, present it in writing and they have to present evidence, not just say, okay, well, he did this and therefore he's guilty. And then it talks about the time limit so that the, both parties have time to produce their evidence, and then someone has time to oppose it. It involves the general counsel who can give the board advice or not as he sees fit. And then it discusses how much time should be allocated for the debate. And then, again, it deals with this issue about whether it's open or closed. And the board member should have the right to determine if someone is who's advocating for his censure, whether or not the rest of the listeners should hear about it or not. So, and then I think it, I think a censure motion to avoid, frivolousness and 50-50 problems, I think there should be more than a simple 51-49 percentage. I think we should have a 2/3 vote, and that'll discourage frivolous motions and back and forth between, you know, people, and leave it to the serious matters that, really should be the focus of this board's attention. And if anybody has any proposed amendments and something they see that they would like to amend, I certainly would be open to it. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Lydia with a point of order, even though I'm not a board member. It's directed to the parliamentarian.
What is your point of order, Lydia?
Yes. Is there some reason, Mr. Tatum, that this should not be ruled out of order, given what is specified in the bylaws, and that this would set a precedent that we have never exercised before? We've always reverted for censure motions to abide by Robert's rules.
As I've said many times, it's up to the chair to rule on it. The only thing I will say about this motion as it pertains to Robert's is what the chair said already, and that is, it far exceeds what's in Roberts. It makes the motion to censor almost like a trial where someone is accused and there's going to be some big fat punishment and they're going to go to jail. Well, Roberts' rules of order doesn't allow for that on this particular motion to censor. So I'm not, you know, as a parliamentarian, I can't say whether to throw this out or keep it in. I can't say either one. All I can say is that it far exceeds what's in Roberts, and it's up to the chair to make the rulings. That's all I can say.
Okay. Right. I'm sorry if I may clarify. So my question is it the chair's prerogative to rule it out of order?
It is.
Thank you. That's it.
Hey, this is James for the parliamentary inquiry.
Hold on, I want to comment on this.
Chair, I'm
commenting on why I'm not ruling it out of order, because it's certainly possible to introduce special rules that override procedures in Robert's rules. That being said, I think this particular motion is completely absurd. It's trying to essentially kill a flea with a machine gun. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's creating a whole bureaucracy for a simple to handle a simple motion of censure. I can't imagine why anybody would want to vote for this.
Chair, am I recognized now, Lawrence?
Yes, Lawrence.
At a parliamentary inquiry, Chair.
Yes. What is it?
I just wanted to ask the parliamentarian. I believe it says if the bylaws are silent on a matter, then Robert's rules would take over. But if you wanted to do something like this motion, which is more complicated and more
Chair,
definite.
That's what I was going to speak to. I'm sorry.
Actually,
Director Sagerton jumped a step.
Jim has a valid point that I hadn't thought of. That's correct.
But I wasn't finished. May I finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the parliamentarian, since this is imposing more than Robert's rules was, does that mean that we would have to amend the bylaws to go along with this motion?
The answer is no. As the chair has already stated, you know, the board is free to make special rules of order at any time they want that would supersede the bylaws and supersede Robert's rules of order. So the answer to your question is, yes, you can make special rules of order.
Thank you.
But let me just say,
can I please speak to this?
Go ahead, Laura.
Because, Mr. Osborne was able to, state his position. I essentially was going to say, that James is completely right, that, and everybody's right here, that when something is not codifying the bylaws, and I think the due process protection is codifying the bylaws for the members, for the board members. Now, when something is not clear in the bylaws, then, we fall back on Robert's Rules of Order, right? Because that's the way we have set up our structure. Now, to be fair, I also believe that special rules are made to deal with some stressful factors in the rules of order. What I'd like to make a motion that this motion be referred to the governance committee.
Okay, you want to refer that to the governance committee? That requires a second. Okay, no second. I think you should just vote it down. Does anybody else want to speak on this?
Sandra Rollin has her hand up.
Okay, Sandra? I didn't see her hand, but go ahead. Sandra, did you want to speak?
Sandra, your hand is up. Unmute, please. She's unmuted. Allie's hand has gone up. Sandra's hand is still up. Sandra, you're unmuted. Did you want to speak or shall I take your hand down? Mr. Chair, you can go to Allie and then maybe come back to Sandra.
Okay, Allie.
He's muted.
Allie, you're muted. I just have a question because I've noticed that when censures have come up on this board and other boards, that different procedures or processes have occurred. I haven't seen a standardized process of dealing with censure motions. I've seen some sort of come up as off the cuff, like a spontaneous motion, and others that have been submitted weeks before, allowing the person being censured to prepare a defense or at least see what they're being censured for. So can I just ask the maker of this motion, is this just an attempt to standardize or create a uniform method of dealing with censures moving forward?
May I respond?
Go ahead.
So yeah, this motion is attempt to solve a problem that occurred, you know, frankly, that involved me. And Robert's rule, I didn't have an opportunity to get any of the evidence. The motion's not before, there's no motion pending now, but just think about it. I mean, I didn't get a copy of the motion. I didn't get any notice. Now the chair keeps saying that there's procedures in Robert's rules. And yet when I asked the chair, when the motion was filed against me, where the due process was and why I wasn't entitled to notice. The chair just said that I was out of order like he's about to do now.
You're off topic, Mr. Osborne. You were simply asked whether this was an attempt to standardize a procedure or not. All you had to do was answer yes or no. Against you.
Sandra's hand is still up.
Sandra, did you want to speak or not? Okay, let's go to a vote. Madam Recording Secretary, could you please take the roll on this?
I can indeed. Let's see.
This is yes if you want to override Robert's rules and set the standards for a motion of censor to be equivalent to a trial to remove someone. It's essentially what it is.
So, Chris Corey.
Pass.
Okay. Excuse me, point of information. The chair just said it was a trial to remove someone. I don't think this is about removing people from a board.
I'm saying the procedures you're trying to impose for a motion of censure would be pretty much the same as the procedures that currently
exist. I really object to the chair continuing the arguing after telling me to not to argue. Which way is it going to be, Mr. Chairman? Are you going to argue or cut off argument?
Osborne, you're out of order.
The chair. Please take the vote.
Please take the vote.
Thank
you. Okay, here we go again. Chris Corey passed. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, wait. I'm voting against doing it. So which one is that?
That means no.
Please get it square, okay? A yes vote approves these censure rules. A no vote is not to approve these censure rules. Okay, Lyndon Foley.
Yes.
Votes yes. Heather Gray.
No.
Votes no. Julie is not there. Sabrina Jacobs.
Abstain.
Okay, Wally James.
Yes.
Votes yes. Dwayne Lark. Oh, come on. Dwayne? We'll come back to Dwayne. We'll try anyway. Ali Lexa.
I'll give it a yes.
Votes yes. Thomas is not here. Jim Osborne.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ron Pinchback. Oh, I'm sorry. He's not here. Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer. Okay, we'll have to make another round. Sandra Rawline. No. Okay, I hear nothing from Sandra. Lawrence Reyes.
Pass.
Sean Rhodes.
No.
Did I hear no?
You heard no.
Okay, just checking. James Sagerton?
Sorry, muted. No.
Okay, I hear a no. Andrea Turner.
Hello.
Votes no.
I know. I didn't say that. I said hello.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I abstain.
Okay. Abstains. Beth von Gunten.
No.
Votes no. Okay, we will go back around and see, Chris Corey, you passed. Would you like to change your vote?
Abstain.
You abstain. Okay, Julie is not here. Dwayne Lark. Dwayne, are you on the call? I hear nothing. Okay, Thomas is not there. Ron is not there. Ralph Pointer, are you on the call? I hear nothing from Ralph. Sandra? That's rather frustrating. We have one, two, three, four. Yes.
What happened to Lawrence?
Good question. I'm sorry. You're right. Where's Lawrence? Lawrence.
Presente.
Passed.
I'm right here.
You passed.
I vote no.
You vote no. Okay. Thank you. Okay, we are down to one, two, three, four yeses. One, two, three, four, five no's. One, two abstentions. Does this cost quorum?
There's three abstentions.
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. I've got, wait a minute. Yeah. Things are getting blurry here. Three abstentions.
Yeah, I have a parliamentary inquiry, Chair.
Before we go there, Alex, how do you choose?
I vote no.
You vote no.
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Sandra, how do you vote?
Okay. Okay, I did the star nine thing that the parliamentarian told me to do to raise my hand, and apparently that muted me completely. So I apologize for not responding. I wanted to speak, but I'll let that slide. But my vote is yes. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, that makes...
Madam Secretary, can you read the vote?
I can, yes. Chris Corey abstains. Vanessa Dixon Briggs,
She voted no.
She voted no.
She voted no.
Then we have one more no, then let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, where is Vanessa then?
Okay. So, Chris Corey.
I'm here. I'm here. What do you need? What do you need? I'm sorry.
No, that you voted no on these.
I did. Yes, I did. Okay. I voted no.
Linda Cooley voted yes. Heather Gray voted no. Sabrina Jacobs abstained. Wally James voted yes. I have not heard from Dwayne Lark and I would like to.
Yeah, that's my point of information, Chair. For if somebody is in the meeting but not answering during the vote, does that vote automatically becomes an abstention?
Yes, from the parliamentarian.
Thank you. Yes, it's the same.
Okay, as then I will log.
Can you announce what is the totals of the vote? Can you announce that,
Mr. Chair? I call the last comment from the previous speaker out of order. I was muted, and I tried numerous times to log in and record my vote, as well as trying to speak to the.
Your vote, Miss
Ronine, I'm not referring to you.
Nobody
I'm referring to the people who haven't asked.
I don't care who you're referring to. I'm just saying that from my perspective, I was shut out of the meeting for the last 15 minutes. I had to turn my phone off and re-log into the call in order to vote.
Madam Secretary, could you please announce the results of the vote?
I will. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 no votes. We have 1, 2, 3 abstentions, and we have at least one person who has not responded.
That's an abstention. Okay, the motion fails.
Okay.
And that is basically it for the open session. We have to reconvene in closed session. You want to take a 5-minute break before we do that?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Okay. So we'll see you all. It's now 10:37. I'll see you all in 10:43. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second? James. Anybody second it?
I think they're all gone.
I second.
Okay.
This is Heather.
Any objections? Hearing no objections. We're adjourned.